course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with your friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too bad. I'm currently eating a Lifesavers, one of those white mints. I don't know why I bought some at the stores. They're really good.
Hey, what is it? Lifesaver what?
Like those Lifesaver, like the white mints.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Well, I mean, it's a nice change from your typical butterscotch, right, Grandpa?
I do like butterscotch candies. He's not joking. I love me a good old fucking butterscotch candy. I haven't had one in a while.
Yeah, they're pretty good. So, all right, on this episode, we will be reviewing the movie 825 Forest Road. That's coming up later. Before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
I sure did. I watched a couple things. Obviously, 825 Forest Road. But also, I watched Becky, the movie Becky, and Wrath of Becky, which kind of ties into our segment here later, because that's where I think Kayla got the idea for it. And then I also watched, went and watched the Minecraft movie. Honestly, it was really good. It's made by Jared Hess, who made Napoleon Dynamite. And then there's a bunch of like Napoleon Dynamite references in this movie. Like he makes like a tater tot gun. And there's another one. There's like a Taekwondo segment that reminds me of Rex Kwando. But see, other than that, I mentioned it last week, but I rented a movie from the library called An Exorcism in Amarillo. And I sent you the cover of it that was kind of funky. And boy, oh boy, did I strike just an absolute fucking gold mine. Not in a good way, but like, so The Exorcism in Amarillo, it's made by a person called Ashley Hayes Wright, who owns like a film production company. I think it's called like Wright Production or something like that. And it's like a Christian thing.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And so the movie, I learned it was like a Christian thing because there was a trailer before the movie for like a Christian streaming service. And so I was like, oh hell, what did I get myself into? So I watched this movie all the way through because it says based on a true story on the cover. The movie is purportedly the actual events that occurred to the director, Ashley Hayes Wright, because she's in the movie as well. This is something that actually happened to her, according to her. And in the little snippet at the end, it says that this is presented in the rawest and truest form, which to me sounds as if she is trying to say that how they depicted it is exactly how it happened, or as close to it as they could get. In any situation or case that it happens, this is an absolute just fucking mind-blowing situation. But she made other movies, and I watched another one of her movies, and I do deeply regret this, but I could not watch it. It was the movie is called The Badge, The Bible, and Bigfoot. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that. She's made some other bangers, you know, The Donkey That Saved Christmas, The Christmas Doodle, a lot of Christmas movies. Let's see, Civil War Saint, and probably my favorite out of all of these. Let's see if I can find it again, because this one, I should have watched this one, truthfully. It says, where to go? Fighting the Chupacabra and the Cartel in Mexico is the name of this movie.
Fighting them both. Okay.
Fought them both in good old Mexico. So at some point, I'm going to make an actual a video about this and put it on the Geeks Do channel, because there's so much more I have to get into that we just simply do not have the time nor mental capacity to really dive into this, because it is a fucking wild ride.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even know how to respond to any of that, but okay.
Also, was not a very good movie. So there's that.
Well, she certainly didn't blow the budget on the cover. So,
Absolutely not.
yikes. Okay. So was that it? Or,
That is it. The Minecraft movie, Becky and Wrath of Becky, Haunting in Amarillo, and The Badge, the Bible, and Bigfoot. That's about it.
I would venture to guess that never in the history of man has anybody ever put those four movies together in one sentence and say they watched them in one week together. That's just all over the map.
Yes.
I don't feel so bad saying that I didn't really watch anything then, because that's quite the potpourri of movies. And I don't know when you the talked about the haunting in Amarillo, when you were given the discuss given the implication that it was something kind of wacky, I was going to say, ooh, what do we got, like possessed aardvarks, or what do we got going on here? But
That
no, went a different route. But
it did.
okay then. Well, let's move on to the first segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And this first segment is called Cheesy Slasher of the Week. Although I think, given that Isaac's watch week, that the term cheesy is kind of underwhelming in this case. But our cheesy slasher of the week is where I present to you a movie that is just that cheesy. Or low budget, or just kind of wacky and weird. And unfortunately, the Haunting in Amarillo wasn't it for this week. We've got another. And I have to say that I have seen this movie, and I have to actually say that in a really weird, off-the-wall kind of way, I enjoyed it. Not because it was a good movie, but just because it sure was a whole lot of fun. The movie is Slaughterhouse. It was released in a limited theater run on August 28th, 1987, released to video straight soon after. Written and directed by Rick Rossler, starring Joe Barton, Don Barrett, Sherry Leigh, and more. The movie is described as the owner of a slaughterhouse facing foreclosure instructs his obese and mentally disabled son to go on a killing spree against the people who want to buy his property. And yep, that's it. Cut and dry. That is the movie. And it is just pure nonsensical fun, and it gets and there's even interesting facts about this movie. Since Buddy, who is played by Joe Barton, and Buddy is the obese and mentally disabled son, was supposed to be this hulking kind of guy, Barton was only 5'9". The actor had to stand on ramps and stacked pallets in various scenes to appear taller than the victims. Now I can I you know I give them bad props for this. I can I have always talked, use the smoke and mirrors, hide your weaknesses, and they did that here, I guess. You didn't know if you didn't know that he was standing on a stack of pallets in any of these scenes. So and talking smoke and mirrors, many of the crew members listed in the ending credits were just simply made up to give the impression of a much larger crew and budget. Once again, hey, why not? I mean, there's no harm to that, right? If you want to appear a little bigger than you are, just make up people. Sure. Buddy's snorting in the movie was added in post-production. That's a little disappointing, but that's the magic of Hollywood. Now here is absolutely the best fact about this movie. And I so wish I had tape that I could hear of this. Joe Barton, who once again played Buddy, the obese and mentally disabled son, on the slot from a slaughterhouse, did a promotional tour in character as Buddy, which included radio interviews in which he only spoke in grunts.
Oh
I if anybody by chance has heard this, please let me know. I'm gonna put this on social media because I have no hope that there's any tape of this, but I mean, you never know. But I want to know if anybody ever heard this because this is just absolutely incredible. And also, there's a scene in which in the movie which Buddy eats dog food, which was actually just refried beans. There was a sequel to the movie that was planned but never made. That's a little disappointing. The movie was shot in 21 days for a $110,000 budget, and it shows. And the movie is available to watch on Tubi. And of course it is, because Tubi is the absolute king of movies such as this. I really feel like this segment should more times than not just be called Cheesy Slasher of the Week, brought to you by Tubi. Because typically that's where I've seen these movies. But so if you just want to see an interesting little slasherific type movie that's got a lot of humor. Some of it unintentional, some of it I guess is intentional, but I don't know. But it is funny. Yeah, go watch Slaughterhouse. It's interesting. It's funny. I'm not, trust me, I'm not trying to say it's a great movie, so don't hold me to that one. But it is interesting. Okay, let's move on to the next segment. Talk to us, Internet. It is time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is where Ike and I either respond to listener feedback or we simply pull a post or a topic that we have seen on social media and discuss it. And it was kind of a light week. I didn't see a whole lot that really kind of knocked me down, but I did see one person ask on social media. I believe it was on X, but I don't recall exactly. Were they, I'm paraphrasing here, but they asked, what would people like to see as the next trend or villain phase in horror movies? Now, this is, how horror movies will typically go, right? There'll be this series of werewolf movies. We've talked about this before, right? Or a series of vampire movies, right? Obviously, excuse me, well, I'm trying to think here. What is it? I'm trying to think. The public domain horror is a very hot thing right now. Things like that. Is there something like a trend, a villain type character or whatever that you would like to see be utilized or reutilized in the near future by horror movies?
Actually, weirdly enough, there is.
All right.
So for a little bit of preface, I grew up in the day and age of like the early boom of the internet. Like, I was in the 2000s when internet became, more accessible, right? This is, after dial up and everything else. And you actually had internet where you could very easily access, YouTube and things like that. There was creepypastas, and they've taken some stabs at it with some of like the Slender Man stuff and some of the Channel Zero stuff on Shudder. But I would love for them to go back and just really take another jab at some of these other creepypastas. I think creepypastas are such a cool and untapped gold mine. They were a little goofy and cheesy, but like some of these stories were really genuinely scary back in the day. And some of them have become super elaborate, and I feel like there's a lot that you could do with some of these, stories. Specifically, there's one called about a character called Jeff the Killer, who there's some, there's some interpretations of him that are a little odd and just purposefully edgy, but like it's your basic slasher story, but a little bit different. And Jeff the Killer just kind of looks funny, like he's kind of weird looking. So there's some other cool ones from the creepypasta that I think could really, truthfully, I think it could really boom if given to the right people. So give it to like A24 or Neon or something like that. Maybe even Blumhouse, get them involved in it, and I think that we could, see a really cool boom of creepypasta movies. And speaking of Slender Man, I'd like for them to go back and take another stab at Slender Man. The Slender Man movie we got was all right, but I think like a really cool found footage Slender Man movie would be really neat, if did right. Maybe by like the Hell House people who made those movies. That'd be pretty badass.
That's kind of actually similar to somewhat to kind of some of the ideas I had, because I don't know that there is a necessarily a type of villain that's not really kind of been overly tried. I'm not saying some of them can't be revisited and something good come of them, but I would like to see, but my thing is I would like to see it in a series form, right? With like a short series, like 6 episodes per season. It's kind of similar to that though, but where they dive more into more the folk tales and urban legend type things. And because we've gotten quite a bit of that kind of stuff, right? There's lots of it out there. But even with as much as we've gotten, I mean, it's just you haven't even scratched the surface. I mean, there's so much deeper you can go with these things. And I feel like we maybe have discussed this somewhat before. It seems I'm having a little bit of deja vu here. But I'm not saying you have to hit all the big, the Bloody Marys and blah 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 that have been done before and whatever, because there's so much out there. So, every region's got folk tales and urban legends, and every culture has their own too. And I mean, there's just so much that you could pull from. And bring it into a modern, setting and utilize and try to, be crafty about it, right? Make it the best you can. Take something, quote unquote, nonsensical almost, right? That's pretty outlandish at its core value, and try to make it somehow believable. Try to make it. I know there's only so much you can do. But trying to make it where at least you—that's that to me—that's where it would really be scary, is right if you give a little more explanation that, well, yeah, okay, maybe it couldn't truly happen. At least it can make you momentarily pause and think, "Ooh, what if?" And so take some of those things and put kind of a modern take, a modern twist, and bring them into a modern setting, and see what you could do with them. Because there's so many of them out there. There's all these different incarnations of the same ones even. And I feel like it's something that you could never run out of material. The key would be probably picking the right material to use. And I think to me it would work. I would love it to see them do it and do these 45-minute episodes based on each one. They don't even have to be interconnected in any way. The only thing that's interconnected is that they are all of the same type of story, origins or whatever, right? They're folk tales or they're urban legends or whatever. And I know we've gotten the urban legend movies, and again, I know they've made all kinds of whatever, Jersey Devil and Mothman and whatever, so many of these kind of movies over the years. But let's get past those. Let's dig a little deeper into some of
Right.
the real creepy ones that are that are a little more skin crawling, but
Yeah, I agree.
and especially with like modern effects and everything, you can really go nuts with it. But because again, I can't really think of a some categorical type of villain that I would really necessarily like to see him jump to again. All your major ones to me have been done, and anything else, I don't know. I don't know that you could, how many times you can revisit some of them, because they've been, I know there's a lot of, it's secular and everything will come around again, and that's fine, and that's fine with me, it works for me. But I don't know that what I'm ready for just yet to come back around. I don't know. I don't know whose time it is.
Right.
But,
I could see like a resurgence of zombie movies too. I feel like I've heard some rumblings of some like zombie movies that are coming out, like World War Z 2, and
yeah.
supposedly like George Romero's family has a movie coming out that was, he had wrote before he passed, and
Yeah. And I'm not opposed to that, but I don't feel like zombie movies have ever really truly gone away. I think there always been some versions of them, and with Walking Dead, series is continually being out there. I feel like it's always there in some capacity. We always get, something with it.
right.
That I think we're at that point where it's like I don't feel like it really anything goes away for any period of time. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, you think, oh, there was the Twilight movies, which brought vampires into the blah, blah, blah. And okay, well, we've done vampires again. I mean, you know, in shows and things, since, even since then, there's been some stuff, you know, come out and with, you know, even up to, you know, Nosferatu here recently and things. And, you know, we werewolves, hey, we just had a wolf man and some other things. It's, I mean, well, I don't know. What are you gonna do, a mummy? I mean, we did have, you know, they attempted that with what, Tom Cruise or whatever, and we did an Invisible Man movie and this and that. We, you know, I don't know. It just seems like nothing truly goes away anymore. But so I don't know. I don't know what the next hot thing could be, but I'm sure it'll pop up.
I was
So,
gonna say it'll pop up and we'll know when we know, right?
and we'll probably like it and watch it. But
Exactly.
all right, then let's move on.
Seven Screams of Horror.
And it is time for our Seven Screams of Horror segment. This is where Ike's wife Kayla gives us two actors or actresses, and we try to connect them with as few connections as we can based on movies or TV shows, etc., that they have appeared in with that person. Now, for each connection, it is 2 points, unless, or excuse me, it's 1 point, unless we can make it with a horror-related connection. Then we get 2 points. So whoever gets the most points. No. I'm sorry. It's the other way
Yeah,
around.
flip those
It's
around.
two points. If it's a horror, it's 1 point. So the fewest number of points wins.
Yes.
So basically, the fewest connections with horror relation, you know, horror related is the best route you can go. You know, this is not really a, you know, some big competition like the Stump the Co-host. It's just something we kind of do. We don't really keep track a whole lot of this one. I've since, you know, quit doing that. We just kind of play each time, and it's all good. Well, and part of that is because 99% of the time it seems like we tie, even if we don't have the same connections. We've got the same number.
Yeah.
So, the two actors we have gotten is Lulu Wilson and James McAvoy. So, Ike. Oh, and I guess I should remind people, because we always have to remind ourselves, we do not count those two in the connection. So it's only what's between those. Those are the two bookends. We only count the actors or actresses in between the two as a connection. So we both have Lulu Wilson, James McAvoy. We're starting at zero. Ike, so how many in between the two, how many connections did you do this in?
Looks like I have one, two, three people in between these two.
What? Really? Because I did it in one.
Really?
Yeah. And now I spent some time perusing IMDb, so I really had to dig for this one. And I started with James McAvoy, and I went with the first thing that pops in my mind about James McAvoy, and that is X-Men First Class, right? Where he
Okay,
obviously plays
yeah.
Charles Xavier. So I scrolled through. Now, the person that I'm connecting between them is Annabelle Wallace. And to be fair, Annabelle Wallace did not have a very big part in X-Men First Class. She's only billed as a co-ed. So as I looked through X-Men First Class, I didn't find any obvious connections. So I went to the other route. Started looking through Lulu Wilson, through her credits, started hit some horror of her, you know, horror of her movies of hers, which led me to Annabelle Creation. So I thought, oh, okay, I want to create, you know, want to make that connection with that horror. And Annabelle Wallace is in Annabelle Creation as Mia. Lulu Wilson is in there as Linda. So then I went back, looked through some James McAvoy, found out that Annabelle Wallace is in X-Men First Class as co-ed. So, okay, wait, I guess that is that. Oh, that's interesting, though. I guess that's, is that two, can that be two connections, right? Because, oh, how do we do that?
So
Because
normally
it's not
we
the
go by,
person, each person's two connections, right?
right. So it's going by
Okay.
how you connected them. So in this case, it would be the movies that are connecting them.
The
So it'd
movies are
be,
the connections, right? So,
right.
yeah, so one was a horror, one was a non-horror. So that would be 3 points.
Yeah. So
And
I
again,
think,
kind of cheap because she doesn't have a very big role in X-Men First Class, but it showed up on IMDb, and I'm taking it. So.
So then I think mine would technically be four movies
Okay.
separating them, but they're all horror movies.
Oh, so see, so while I did two movies, twice the movies, you did twice the movies. If they're all horror, that's actually only one more point.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So because I did Lulu Wilson is in Becky with Joel McHale. Joel McHale is in It's a Wonderful Knife with Justin Long. Justin Long is in Barbarian with Bill Skarsgård, and then Bill Skarsgård is in It Chapter
It
Two
chapter
with
two. Yeah.
James McAvoy.
Yeah, I tried the It chapter two at first. I couldn't on the horror on that end. I couldn't find a lot that was really clicking for me well. So I was ended up having to settle with the X-Men First Class because then I switched over to Lulu and did the Annabelle and tried to play off that. And when I clicked on old Annabelle Wallace and was scrolling through her credits, I saw, oh, well, she was in X-Men First Class. Guess who was in X-Men First Class? So I was good enough with that. So. It was intriguing. I probably spent more time scrolling through IMDb than I should have with this, but alas, that is okay. So, while it took you more movies because one of mine was non-horror, though I had 3 points, you had four, so it was a very close.
Yes.
And had one of mine not been horror, it would have been a tie. If they had both been non-horror, even though you had twice the twice the movies to use, it would have been a tie 4-4. That's why it's important to try to make those horror connections the best you can. So, this shows that even, trying to find the least amount of movies connecting is not always the best route sometimes because of the non-horror aspect that we throw into it. So very interesting. And thank you to Kayla for providing those. And they will be on, they being the wives, Kayla and Monica. Hopefully, we're hoping next episode, right? Because we're hoping to record with them
Yeah, this weekend.
this coming weekend for us, which will be between our two recordings. So, folks, if you listen to us when these drop, the day of dropping, you have 7 days to brace yourself for Hurricane Monica.
Have
Don't
7 days to live.
say you have not been warned. And oh well, I mean, I guess we can. We're pretty set on the topic too, right? I mean, we might as well. We can go ahead. I mean, if anybody cares, right? Because people say they like it when the wives are on. I think they just like that argumentative, that heat that arises and the tension. But they will be on again next episode, and our topic will be discussing public domain horror. Now, the trick's going to be obviously everybody that if you listen to the show, Ike and I love it. Kayla tends to lean towards the enjoys it side also. Maybe not as passionately as Ike and I,
Right.
but she doesn't have any whatever principle-based hatred of it. Monica hates it. Monica hates public domain horror. She hates every concept of it. She will not watch it. She even lectured me one day that we should not be talking about it because it's just blah 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 blah. And I had to say, look, we're going to talk about it. That's just all there is to it. I said, but what I'll do, I'll give you a time to come on and talk about it. And the time is here. And I guarantee you, she's going to be fired up about this one because this is a hot button topic for her. And it does not matter what we say, it's not going to change her mind, but that's okay. It'll be interesting. It'll be, no matter what, it'll be a fun listen. So next week, a wives rebuttal will be on here. And we will be discussing public domain horror. So let us know what side of the fence you fall on. And if your team, Dave and I, well, Dave typically kind of steps back a little, tries to play moderator a little bit. So it's basically going to end up, as it always is, it's going to end up being Team Ike versus Team Monica. And even though, Monica and everybody else knows I love the public domain, Kayla and I don't interject quite as much. I try to moderate, keep things moving, as best I can. So, I'm gearing up for this one. I will probably have to be drinking heavily as we record that this weekend. So, all right then. That does yeah. That does it for the entire all of our opening stuff. We're gonna take a break now. When we come back, we will have news, birthdays, and all that stuff. So stick around.
make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right. So, starting us off here, we have some confirmed news about The Orphan 3. It has been confirmed that Isabel Furman will be returning as Esther. There's no release date for Orphan 3 quite yet, but this is good news, of course. Isabel Furman is she's been in 2 movies so far, so I think it'd be pretty silly to recast her at this point. But very curious to see what they do with a third film. I think it'll be enjoyable, generally speaking. I don't see any reason that this wouldn't be fun, even if it is just for a little quick watch. So, exciting news.
Yeah. And some of the talk is that that the idea they pitched that got approved to move forward with this was a pretty wacky one. I'm not saying necessarily wacky as in bad or unbelievable, but just wacky as in, pretty wild and crazy. And so we'll see what that means, if that's truly the way it is. But I think the most amazing fact is the fact that she can still play this role. And I know there's some digital enhancement or whatever else, but she still looks the part enough to be able to pull this off. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it, right? Because the other 2 Orphan movies were fun. So let's do a third. My gut says this will probably be it. This will probably be the last one. I don't know if, who knows, but I don't see one beyond this, but never know.
Yeah, absolutely. Never know. But moving on to, we have The Monkey, now available on video on demand. We talked about this not too long ago. I think we both had generally positive reviews about it. I'd be very happy to get this on another run, just to kind of see it again. And, I like we always say, love the quick turnaround of video on demand. But, yeah, the Monkey, you can check it out online if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was fun. I liked it. And, I'm looking forward to watching it again. So, a good thing it's a video on demand. I mean, streaming will be on a streaming platform will be not far behind. So everybody can get their feel of their monkey loving feel on. And I don't mean that in any weird ass way. So,
yeah, but very good.
And if you thought that out there, shame on you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, we're gonna move on.
Caramba. Way to go, Mario. Oh, see, I was going with more the Italian Mario type thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're making your mother cry.
Do.
Before I offend any Italian people. But very good. Moving on. Le Mans Wolfman comes to Peacock on April 18th. This is another good one. I know that there was some divide about the design of the wolf and Wolfman. So, there's some other divides about the movie as well. But I think it generally had I liked it, and I think we both liked it to some degree. And yeah. I just think that there just wasn't super great critical reviews about it.
There's always divide.
Yeah.
But, whatever. If you haven't seen it, there you go. It's coming to Peacock. So you don't have to, I don't know. It's one of these, it's so wild because it's like, yes, there's this quick turnaround things, but for some reason, it just feels like an eternity ago when this movie was out. When it's not been it's weird. They just got us so brainwashed and trained anymore to just want everything so instantaneous that it's like, if you have to wait a couple months, it feels like an eternity.
Yeah. It's funny because we're really spoiled these days with just how quick these turnarounds are now.
Yes. It used to be so crazy from theater to video store, and you didn't think of it 'cause you didn't know any different. And now it feels sometimes like it's so long from theater to streaming when it's just usually not more than a month or two at most. We're so used to everything being instantaneous at our fingertips. We're spoiled,
Crazy.
people. We're spoiled.
We absolutely are. First world problems, but very
When I was a
good.
kid, you went to the theater and then you waited for the television edit version to come on. And that's all you
Back in
had.
my day.
And damn it, we were happy to have it.
Back in my day. Yeah, no, I mean, it's true, though. I mean, it's exactly what you said. You know, we used to have to wait for them to put it in the video store, and then, like you said, and if you didn't catch in the video store, you'd have to wait for them to get the rights to a television company, whether it be ABC or whatever company, Fox, to put it on TV. And then,
And
like
that
you
was always
said,
edited.
yep, it was edited to cut down on time. It was edited so that way, because they usually couldn't put anything above like a PG-13 on TV. So rated R movies had editing to get it to a PG-13 level. So, ay.
Spoiled, people. Spoiled.
Spoiled. Another ay. Anywho. But moving on from Wolfman and our spoiledness, The Conjuring Last Rites, which comes to theaters on September 5th, was thought to be the final movie in the main series. However, New Line is now teasing that this is merely wrapping up phase one of the Conjuring universe. We're about to have phase two, like Marvel, where we go into the multiverse. I'm just kidding.
Spoiled, people. We're spoiled.
Right, we really are. But hey,
It's
this is
weird.
interesting. I'm curious if they're gonna like go off like on a different, like maybe with like the daughter, maybe instead of like
I
the
don't know.
Ed Lorraine. But hey,
Who
I'm
knows?
here for it.
Sure, do whatever. Remember, we've said this before, right? I mean, there's they there I mean they can do I mean they can do about anything they want within this universe for the most part and make it fit. I mean, it's the characters can change up, everything can change up, but it could still be within that world and that universe. So I'm glad to see that maybe they're going to keep playing in the sandbox a little longer, and let's see what they can come up with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've, like you said, they have a lot to work with, so it'll be very interesting to see how
Now,
how they fit it in.
now we've said now we've been talking about how we're spoiled and how we're spoiled and spoiled and spoiled. The next news item, though, is why we just can't have nice things, though.
Damn. This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why we're not spoiled enough.
Right. We've also talked about too with The Conjuring about how it'd be cool for them to do like a TV show where like they do episodes about how they get all the artifacts and stuff, and or something along those lines. So again, spoiled. Somebody needs to give us a, you know, get somebody in here for us to write. Let's do it. But anyway, moving on to New Line has also said they hope to have a new Nightmare on Elm Street on the horizon. But the franchise remains complicated because of rights and stuff.
See, this is why we don't wait. It's why we don't appreciate it when we're spoiled and we can't have nice things. Because what do we have? We got fucking Nightmare on Elm Street. We've got Friday the 13th that are all caught up in the rights complications. So, well, we can get phase two of The Conjuring. We can get the Wolfman Quick the Peacock, but we can't get damn Freddy and Jason movies right now because people want paid.
Getting us angry now. Where you wouldn't like us when we're angry.
No.
But no, absolutely. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, there's so many iconic franchises, and there's probably more that we're not even thinking of that we don't know about at the moment that get tied up in these, you know, litigation bullshit about who owns what, who has the rights to what, and so on and so forth. So
And it's because it's all changed, right? So much. When these movies were made, late 70s, early 80s, for most of these that are really bad, people would have concepts and they'd have ideas. And then as they filmed and they created, they were coming up with this stuff. So people would throw out ideas and be like, oh, what if we did this? Or what if, you added that? Or, oh, we can't afford to do that. What if you just, I don't know. What if you just put a hat on Freddy? Or what if you just use this striped sweater because that's what we got? And they're not thinking it through sometimes, right? It's just, this is what we got. this is what we can afford, or whatnot, or someone said, yo, oh, Freddie was gonna wear a black sweater, and so and so said this Christmas looking striped sweater would look better. Oh yeah, that's cool. Let's do that. So then once that thing, bam, that thing's huge. It's making money. Then all these people who had their fingers in creation, and I'm not saying they're wrong or right, if they all had a hand in it, then everybody's fighting for who did what. How much did I create? How much did they create? How are we going to split this, right? I mean, I should have some ownership because I said, and then that's when it's so complicated. And because you didn't, it was just a different, it was a different world then, and all this kind of stuff. And creatorship and creator rights and things. It was just different. People didn't think the same way they do now. And you don't think in, they didn't, back then, you didn't think in as terms of properties, right?
Right.
Because that's not, you know, you thought, oh, you can make a movie and maybe get a sequel or two out of it if it's pretty good and whatever. You didn't think, oh, someday they're going to put this guy's face on everything imaginable and sell it. It just, it was different. And again, if someone truly had input and came up with a iconic piece of the puzzle, I mean, I can't say that I can argue them wanting cut into the money. I mean, but you know, but then you have to prove, and you have to, so that's why it all gets, it just gets caught up legally. And sometimes, like New Line or whoever, it's just, they can't do anything because it's all in court cases and lawsuits. So they can't do anything with the property. And I wasn't that aware that Nightmare was caught up in so much of this because I don't know. They did a, you know, a remake of this and that. And I don't know. I guess I just thought Wes Craven had pretty much had that one, and it was in within him and his estate. And I don't know. I guess I didn't understand or didn't know that there was the complications involved in that too, but
Honestly, the whole rights and intellectual properties and copyright, it's all so weird and so convoluted. And from what I understand too, and I don't want to get into it too much, but it's 90% of the rights issues it spawns from, quite frankly, these companies that started producing these films. They come in and they sweep the rights out from under the original creator. So a lot of the time, the original creator doesn't have the rights to their own properties. So in this case, in our example, Wes Craven is, in his estate, don't own any of his properties, most likely. People like New Line Cinema and whoever else owns probably the majority of that property, because likely Wes Craven at some point probably signed a contract saying, hey, you're going to give me X number of money to make this movie, and then I'll get X number of royalties, but you retain the rights to the character, or so on and so forth. It's all a bunch of legalese bullshit, and it's typically done to strip these characters away from their original creators, so that way these companies can just market the shit out of them and make as much money as possible.
yeah.
So,
Which
yeah.
just two quick points on this. Number one, we have talked about a lot. Well, what's up with Nightmare? Why are we not seeing anything with Nightmare? And we've said this. Well, here's the answer to our question. And number two, it shows how much things changed in the decade or so from the 80s into the 90s. Because you look at what's Wes Craven's two biggest creations? Nightmare on Elm Street, which is sitting in all these complication of the rights issues, and then Scream, which has pumped out a movie pretty much for the most part every two damn years since it was created. I'm guessing by the time he got to that, everything was a little clearer. He had a little more pull, a little more power, and you don't, you know, there's just not the same legal hangups because yeah, you know, he had a little more authority over these things. So it's wild.
It is absolutely wild. But anywho, before we get too far down that path, because we could keep talking about it, we're going to move on to our last little bit of news for this week. Jason Blumhouse has confirmed that Five Nights at Freddy's 2 will be released exclusively in theaters on December 5th. I'm not sure if you saw it, Dave, but we did get a trailer, like a full-ass trailer for this movie.
No, didn't see that.
It's pretty cool. I don't think that I think you, so. Obviously, you've never played the games, nor have you ever probably even you probably you understand it to a degree, but you probably won't understand what I'm about to say. But there's like multiple types of animatronics. Like there's multiple Five Nights at Freddy's establishments in the universe.
Yes.
So Five Nights at Freddy's 2 is supposed to happen at like another Five Nights lo or another Freddy's location, Freddy Fazbear. And it's different animatronics. They're called the Funtime animatronics, I believe. So they're more like cartoon-esque, more like shiny and bubbly. Yeah, it's pretty cool. If you check out the trailer,
It's
it's pretty neat.
even to the point where, right, there's different versions of the same characters, right?
Right. So there's like Funtime Freddy,
Yeah.
who's the same Freddy Fazbear, like bear-looking motherfucker. It's just that the one. It's weird because they're different kinds of suits. So like
Yeah.
most of the suits from the first movie are what are called spring trap suits, which are spring lock, I'm sorry. But like it's like an exosuit where you can get in it and you can use it, or it can be controlled like an animatronic, like autonomously. So I think the Funtime, if they're following the lore from the games, the Funtime animatronics are just animatronics that you can't actually fit a human inside them, but I don't know how that'll work.
Yeah, the only reason I know any of that at surface value is just from seeing some of the toys that have been made
Yeah.
over time that I've seen different variations and of characters, and I didn't necessarily understand what was what, but I just assumed there was differences, amongst the amongst these whatever these characters. So, like you say, fun time, whatever. I've seen that. I not that I know a whole lot of what the hell that means, but I've seen it, and so I somewhat understand, I guess.
You should hit him with a "What the hell's a Freddy Fazbear?"
But
What the hell is even that?
it's a game you play on the Xbox. What the fuck's an Xbox?
Is that Google?
Did they make that for the 2600?
Hell yeah! Oh man,
For those of you who
but
don't
yeah,
know, that is an Atari game
an
system.
Atari. An Atari 2600. Get crazy here. You got that Sega Dreamcast. What about the
Ooh.
I like the Dreamcast. I wish I had a Dreamcast. Those things look so cool, but they did not live very long.
When I was a kid, there was a game, an arcade. It was an arcade version of the game. I think they made home version, but whatever, I don't know. But it was called Dragon's Lair, right?
Yeah.
And it was so fucking cool because it was a kind of like a laser disc game, so the graphics were just so much better than every other arcade game out there, with the way they did it. It was, this story-driven game. It was so damn cool.
That's the one where you have to make very specific actions or
Yeah.
else you die, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But
Oh, yeah.
I think they've done other Dragon's Lair games since and whatnot, but that first one, it just looks so cool because having that, I mean, you were essentially watching an animation. That's essentially what it was. It was laser disc animation. I don't know the technology behind it, but it was all in laser disc type thing, I think. And based on things that happened, things you did, it would play different, whatever. Whatever. I don't know. But it looks so much better. It was so cool.
Honestly, I love arcade machines. Like
Me too.
I remember I was trying to there's a so I have to be very careful what I say here, because I'm not condoning that you like steal or illegally emulate games, but there is and you having an emulator is not illegal, but downloading a video game that to emulate is illegal because you're stealing that intellectual property versus you're using software. But there is something called MAME, MAME, which is like a arcade machine emulator. And on the Apple iPhone store, you can actually get it's called RetroArch. And you can emulate old arcade machines using the MAME or, there's like an Atari emulator. There's I mean, there's literally dozens of emulators for everything that you could ever think of. But yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool how that works. And, I think that emulation is a very important way to continue to chronalize or immortalize these video games, because there's not a whole lot of these old arcade machines still existing. Neither is there a whole lot of these old, like, Ataris and Segas and Nintendos hovering around out there. So it's, emulation is the future, guys, one day.
Sure.
But anywho, I'm sorry. You got me talking about video games. I love video games. Anywho, moving on. Check out Five Nights at Freddy's in December. We'll probably talk about it more as we get more information about it as we get closer. But upcoming birthdays: April 14th, 1977, Sarah Michelle Gellar from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Scream 2, I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Grudge 1 and 2, as well as many, many, many more. Sarah Michelle Gellar is, I mean, she's been in so much. She was in Scooby-Doo. That's a good one. And the second one, and a lot of other stuff. So, I is she going to be part of the I Know What You Did Last Summer reboot or whatever they're doing?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. Can't
Interesting,
say.
interesting. I thought I remembered hearing that, but at the same time, it's very likely that we're thinking of something else that she's in. But we'll see what happens. But in any case, yeah, I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar is great. Happy birthday to her. We'll go ahead and move right along to some upcoming movie anniversaries. April 11th, 1986, Critters. I can't say for sure that I've seen Critters. I know of Critters, but I can't say that I have seen it.
No,
I know
it's
it's got
fun.
Dee Wallace in it.
Yeah, Dee Wallace. Yeah, fun movie. There's a bunch of critters. I think, well, for like four of them, I think. And yeah, the sequels are kind of e, but I think the first one's fun. Nothing super great, but it's a fun movie from '86.
I'll have to check it out. It looks like a fun time. It's on Plex. Free movies on Plex. Hell yeah. Cool. Well, we'll go ahead and move on to April 13th, 1984, Friday the 13th, the final chapter. That was, in fact, not the final chapter.
No, they lied.
The lie detector test determined that was a lie. The final chapter, we've talked about this before. The final chapter is my definitive Friday the 13th movie. Like, when you say Friday the 13th, what's your favorite movie? This would probably be my go-to. This is the one with Corey Feldman, and he plays Tommy Jarvis, I believe is his name. And yeah, it's a good one. And spoiler alert, they quote unquote kill, Jason Voorhees in this movie. Movie came out over 40 years ago, so I think most everyone has either seen this or has an inkling as to why it's called the final chapter. But it's a good
Another
one.
lie. He didn't
Another
die.
lie. They brought him back. They stabbed him in the heart with a little spiky thing, and the lightning bolt hit it, and he's back to life, zombie Jason. But yeah.
Not supposed to do that in horror. Once you're dead, what's dead should stay dead.
I'm pretty sure that's a tagline for the Pet Sematary movies, doesn't
Yeah, which, by the way, they didn't stay dead.
They sure as fuck
But
didn't.
they should have in that movie. That was creepy.
That was creepy. I need to go back and watch
Oh.
the OG, because I watched the remakes not too long ago for some reason.
That kid's creepy.
He is creepy little bastard, let me tell you.
Sorry, anybody I know dies. You're gonna be dead. I ain't bringing you back.
That's fine. Yeah, I would prefer nobody bring me back. If I died, just leave my ass dead. Like,
Let me have some peace.
right. I can finally fucking rest and be like, Jesus Christ. We live in a nightmare, right? Leave me alone.
Finally free. I
But
don't have to go to work. I don't have to clean. Just
I
let me
don't.
lie.
Right. I don't mow the lawn. You're gonna bring me back to do shit? Damn. I kid. But see, here's the thing: is like if somebody brought me back, you just don't know. That's a mixed bag. You don't know what the fuck's gonna happen. Like, there's like 101 ways you could get brought back to life. Like, which way am I gonna get brought back? And like, how fucked am I gonna be? Like, that's what I want to know. Oh yeah. Another I coming. I'm
Yeah, there's a lot of eyes today.
It is a lot of IEAs. But anywho, happy birthday to Friday the 13th, the final chapter. And then last, but certainly not least, April 15th, 2011, Scream 4. There's a sort of that awkward in-between movie between the first trilogy and now the second trilogy of movies. I love this movie. It's a great movie. It's a fun little ditty about Jack and Diane. And yeah, I like Scream 4.
Which let's see, refresh me. Scream 4. Ooh.
That's the one where it's like her cousin, I think.
Oh yeah, with the one Culkin kid in it.
Kieran Culkin?
Kieran?
Kieran?
Yeah.
It's Kieran. One of the Culkins, not Macaulay.
No. I love Macaulay. I love them all, let's be real. I like the
No,
Culkin. They're quiet.
sorry,
They're
it's Rory Culkin, not
Yeah,
Kieran.
Kieran's the one that's having all the success now.
He was in fuck, what movie was it? Secession? Was that the one that he got like really popular show in?
Yeah,
Secession?
won like an what did he win, like an Oscar or something for it?
Or did they win a lot?
You want
Is
some?
TV shows? Yeah, is
No,
it
no,
our
no.
TV shows or is it a Grammy? Or no, that's music. Emmy.
Yeah, no, I thought he won an Oscar for something though, a movie that he was in. I don't know. Whatever case, Academy. I don't know. I don't watch shows, but I thought he just won an Academy Award or an Oscar. I don't know, but anyway.
He won it for a movie called A Real Pain.
There you go, see. So I'm not completely nuts. Just partially. No, you know what? The funny thing is, I know we did our ranking. I don't remember where we had Scream 4 ranking. It was probably the bottom. It was probably our least favorite. But it's still, and I'm pretty sure we probably said this then, and people can go back and listen to that in the archive and check my memory. Even a bad Scream is not a bad movie. It's Even though this might be not one of my favorite, I still enjoy it, and I still watch it. This is the movie that gave us Kirby,
It is.
and I like Kirby as a character, and I don't know. It's a fun movie. I don't know. I don't remember what we had ranked at the bottom when we did our thing. Let's see which one. I don't know. Whatever. It had to be either three or four, right? I mean.
I would feel pretty confident that it was either three or four at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't know what we had. I mean, I don't know. I honestly think I like four a little better than three. But I don't know. Ask me tomorrow, it might be different.
Absolutely, that's usually how it is. It changes weekly at this point. We'll see what happens.
So
See what happens with this next one.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't know where we had this ranked, and everybody should just go listen to that episode in the archive so that they know for sure.
Absolutely. If you don't go watch it, then you'll never know our official ranking. You
That's right.
gotta know our official ranking.
Because we don't know. So.
No, absolutely not. I don't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday, much less what we talked about
That's
however many
right.
months ago.
That's right. I'd be curious sometimes to rank them again and see if they're the same or just completely whack different on all these.
I guarantee it'd be different.
It probably
Absolutely
would. It'd
positive.
be funny if it just like completely inverted or something. Some of these.
I think the core, like the top three, would probably be pretty similar, if not the same. I think some of the lower ranking movies kind of change based on like the time of
Yeah.
year, whether Saturn's in retrograde or not, I don't know.
I mean, if you're talking Scream, I don't know that no matter how good, I don't know that they'll ever make a Scream movie that will ever knock off the first one as my favorite. Just
Right.
because there's just so much to that first one and what it meant and how it watching it, how it just I don't know, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was just so I mean, the first time you watch that first Scream, it's like, whoa, this is different. This just feels different. This is very unique and very creative, and I don't know. But again, it's all opinion. So what do I
True.
know?
What do we know, guys? What do we know? But I agree.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, 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 caramba. Scream One will forever probably be that, like, that, you know, top one. But it's like you said, it's all about an opinion. And if anybody's curious, they can go watch our full review of everything from way back yonder, and let us know if we're even remotely right, if we remembered correctly, that it's, you know, three or four at the bottom. But anywho, we'll go ahead and move on to our upcoming release that we have coming up, and then of course our official review. But for our upcoming release, we have Shadow of God, releasing on Shudder April 11th. It is described as, while performing an unauthorized exorcism on his father, an elite exorcist suspects the entity he's doing battle with what might be a holy being, perhaps even God. So we will be reviewing this movie next episode. So we're a little peek behind the curtain here. April's been kind of a dry month as far as theater release horror movies have gone.
Yeah.
You know, but we honestly had a lot of streaming stuff. So, you know, and I will say that I think at, you know, Dave and I's heart and soul, you know, it lies with the independent filmmaking, and a lot of what goes on Shudder and Screambox is a lot of that small budget independent filmmaking. So this is, and no, this is definitely what is at our heart and soul as horror lovers. But I remember we were talking about like what we're going to review next week, and I was looking and I was like, there's really nothing. And then you mentioned that this was coming out, and I was like, yeah, we'll watch it. After reading that little tagline there, it actually sounds pretty interesting, because that's always something I've always been curious about, is like, what if like someone did like an exorcism movie, and instead of it being a demon, it was like a good, like what people perceive as like the good team, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what if it was like the God or an angel versus it being the devil or like, you know, Satan or a demon or something. So that's pretty interesting. That's an interesting little plot flip that I would be interested in.
Yeah. And I have a couple of, I mean, literally the phrase elite exorcist. I love that. I like, I want to think that there's rankings for the exorcist. There's like, it's like staff sergeant exorcist or something. I don't know. And the other day, Monica was watching, I don't even know what it was. I don't know if it was a movie, a series. I don't know what it was. But it was something about and related to the Catholic Church somehow, right? And she said, you know, you ought to watch this. It's pretty good. I said, does it have any exorcisms in it? She says, no, I said, I'm not interested. So, you know, I don't know. For whatever reason, I'm a sucker when you throw some exorcisms in there. I at least want to see it. Even if it's morbid curiosity to see how do they do it? Is it different? Do they do anything different to the thousands of exorcism movies we've got out there? And then there's the title Shadow of God. That totally sounds like a late 90s, early 2000 PlayStation type game. It's like Shadow of God on PlayStation.
I was literally thinking that. I was like, there's a game called Shadows of Colossus. And like, that's what came to my mind. I was like, Shadow of God. It sounds like a PlayStation 1 like title where you fight like monsters or some shit. Like, yeah.
So, I'm interested. I don't know anything else but that description of this movie. Don't know who's in it. Not seen a trailer. I've not seen a graphic or anything. I haven't seen anything about this movie, and I'm kind of digging that. I'm kind of like, let's just do this. Let's just go into it. I'm putting all my faith in you, Shudder, and let's see what you're throwing at us. So stay tuned. Next episode, we'll see.
Next episode,
we'll see what all that happens if we survive the Shadow of God.
Well, you said next episode, and that just reminded me, like back in the 90s, like every anime had like the next time on Dragon Ball Z. Will Goku fight Piccolo? Yeah. You know, shit like that.
Next time on Listen to the Screams, can Dave and Ike stand in the Shadow of God?
Oh man, that's amazing.
We're gonna stand in it. We'll see what happens when we do.
We'll stand in it. Probably burn a little bit, but it's fine. I kid. All right. Well, that was a fun little jaunt there. I feel like that.
Aye, aye, aye.
We get off on tangents. It's very easy.
I don't even know what's. This is a weird episode today. It's just
all over the place.
We're all over the place. It's just And most of what we're rambling about sometimes doesn't even have anything to do with horror movies, so we apologize.
No, we were talking about emulators. We're talking about video games. We had a
Anime
little
now.
anime now. Yeah, it all fits. It's all circular, man. But
We're gonna
hey,
loop it around. We're gonna talk about a horror movie.
yeah, we are. Hey, remember that episode I was talking about how like every conversation eventually leads to Hitler in some way? Well, there you go.
Ay,
I kid, I kid. I can't talk about Hitler in these days because it's a little too real, man. It's a little too real.
yeah. Oh, yeah, we don't. Woo!
I'm just
I can
kind of
ramble for a
serious.
long time if we want to get it. So, but I, yeah, no.
I'm joking, not joking, but at the same time, moving on.
It hurts so bad, it's funny.
It does. It really does. It's so painful, it hurts at this point. But all right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of 825 Forest Road. Stick around.
Yay.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. Oh, and it is review time. I feel like we have talked and talked and talked. I feel like we've been on here a half a day, and we're just to the review. I don't feel like this one will be that long, really. I think we've talked all the good stuff today. Oh, that came out bad. Anyway, the movie is 825 Forest Road, written and directed by Stephen Cognetti, starring Elizabeth Vermiglia, Catherine Miller, Joe Bendilli, and others. The movie is described as, after a family tragedy, Chuck Wilson hopes to start a new life in Ashland Falls with his wife Maria and little sister Isabel. But he quickly discovers that the town has a dark secret. This movie is available to view on Shudder. It was released on April 4th. You know what? My review, there's not, I'm, my review is going to be pretty short. I don't have a lot to say. I gotta say, I wasn't a big fan. It was okay, but I found it to be a little boring at times, a little slow. There were a couple moments where it kicked up a little bit and was good. Now, here's my biggest praise of the movie. Was, and again, I'm not sure. I think it was, ooh, I don't know who was who on the actors and actresses. Whoever played the wife Maria was outstanding. She was great. She was the one that really got me invested in her. All right, you know what? I'm just not holding back on this shit. The guy that played Chuck Wilson, which first of all, Chuck Wilson, what a name.
It's like John Smith.
I could not watch this movie. I'm sorry about to this guy. I truly am. He could be the most talented guy in the world, but I watched this movie and all I thought was, God, this is the B version of John Krasinski. He looked like John Krasinski. He sounded like him. He reminded me of him. I thought I was watching some weird take on the on a Quiet Place. It was so weird. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know. Now, and again, I know what this will never get out there. Who, whatever. But the actress that played Isabel, I wasn't a fan. I only because some of her facials were weird on some of how she glanced and moved. I don't know. It was like overly exaggerated or something. I don't know. I don't know how to phrase it. It just didn't feel natural in the moment. It was just like, it's like she was in like a, I don't know, like some weird ass Depeche Mode music video or something. And it just, I like she should have been looking out a window with the rainfall. It was just, she was, I don't know. It didn't work for me. But again, Maria was great. I'm not doing spoiler, but the Dark Secret was pretty good. It was pretty creepy. It had some moments, but I just thought overall, I will say I did like how they how they did the movie, how they laid out the movie. Because again, this is not really a spoiler, but they get what I think four what they called, I don't know if they called chapters or what they called them.
Yeah, chapters.
Yeah, right. Focusing on the husband, the wife, the younger sister, and then what they call the fourth one or whatever. It kind of brought it.
I think it was 825 Forest Road,
Oh
wasn't it?
yeah, right. It kind of brought it all together. I liked how they did that. I thought that worked really well. Because it's almost like you were seeing some of the same stuff from all the different vantage points, which was pretty cool. And I did catch myself a couple of things that I saw in one vantage point, and it wasn't what I thought when I saw it in a different vantage point. I won't give specifics, but there was like my first, like when we got through the Maria part
Yeah.
specifically, I remember one part, one thing I watched, and I thought it was something, one thing completely different. Until I saw something else that happened in the further in the movie, and I thought, "Oh, that was completely not what I thought." It made it a little better, even. So I did like how they laid the movie out, and how that did. But I don't know. I just felt like there's a lot of times that the movie kind of drug. I don't know. Maybe it's just because this movie, I didn't feel like, it was okay. Like I said, I liked how they laid it out and stuff, but I don't feel like this was a super over the top original idea. I feel it just feels like it just had that same vibe as so many other movies, right? It's like I don't know. I don't even feel like the backstory for the Dark Secret was that solid and that strong, and it was almost felt like an afterthought to some. It's like, oh, it's like the things I want to say, it will give stuff away. To me, some of the background of the Dark Secret, I felt a little, it's like I almost felt some sympathy for the Dark Secret a little bit. Almost it's like, okay, you know what? And why is this? Why is this the bad thing? I don't know. It's weird, but, I don't know. Just something didn't click for me. Again, I liked the actress that played Maria a lot. Everything else was, wasn't, I don't know. The acting wasn't anything to write home about for me, but not a fan of the Isabel actress. I did like I said, the way it was laid out, but I just felt like there were parts where it was slow moving. Now, when it got there kind of the end, it was bringing it all together. And again, I felt like the actress that played Maria kind of put the thing on her shoulders and really, really took off with it. There is a particularly a scene where she's let's just say she's being doing some on camera work
Hey,
within the movie.
Maria. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, fucking home run. The
Oh,
dude
yeah.
fucking brought chills to me. That was the oh, you got the that was no, he was outstanding. So, but I don't know. It just didn't overall, if you take the movie as a whole, just didn't, I don't know. Kind of left me feeling like I needed something more. I don't know. Just didn't do it for me. So, Ike, what'd you think?
Well, I really liked it. I do see what you're saying. It did have some slow parts to it. There, for instance, like you said, there's four chapters. The first chapter is Chuck. Second chapter is Isabel. The third chapter is Maria, and the fourth chapter is, I think it's 825 Forest Road is what it's called. So I love the sort of like epistolic telling of stories. I think that that's a very fun way to do things, and especially in this case, it's showing the same, basically the same events unfolding from three different angles, and then the last chapter is sort of like, a conclusion, if you will. So I really like that kind of concept. I think it'd be really neat to see other movies do it. So that style of storytelling really draws me in personally. So I do kind of agree. I think that there were definitely some stronger people in this movie. Chuck was all right. You know, Chuck was Chuck. I don't think there was anything inherently bad about the gentleman's name is Joe Falcone.
Yeah, he wasn't. It sounded like he was a bad actor, even or he did that. I just looked at him, and it's like, for whatever reason, all I could see was John Krasinski. I don't know why. I don't know if it was the beard and the hairstyle. I don't know. It was just so weird to me.
Yeah, and so I definitely see what you're saying there. So it's like he didn't do bad, but he could have done better. That's coming from an untrained person who's never acted in a movie in my life. So I take that with a huge grain of fucking salt. So,
oh yeah,
but I do agree that Maria, the actress Elizabeth Vermilia, I believe is her name, and Catherine Miller played Isabel. I think that Maria, like you said, she really stole the show. Her segment of the movie was my favorite by far.
Mine too.
I think that hers, I would rank it hers, Chuck, and then without the conclusion, because the conclusion kind of is about all of them. Yeah. So with the first three chapters, I would definitely say the third chapter being Maria's was my favorite. Now, I did like Chuck's, but to me, Isabel's was really slow, so that's where it kind of lost me a little bit. But then it picks right back up with Maria, and they're like, boom, boom, boom. So while there were some weaker parts of the movie, I think the movie overall was still really great. I think the area was very, very interesting where they filmed this. They definitely make it seem like it's just some like podunk small town type deal, and and they kind of have like this mystery, right? And then they start the mystery off from the very get go. Like it puts you right in the middle of it.
Yeah, because that was another thing that was added a little peculiar when Chuck's, again, it's not spoilers per se, but he's got a leaky roof, and the neighbor comes over and introduces himself or whatever, and he's like, and it's like all of a sudden it's just like the neighbor starts laying out some of this town's weird stuff, just like to this guy he just met. It's like, and it was just, I don't know. I mean, literally, if I were Chuck and someone approached me like that, I'm not worried about the town's weird secrets. I'm thinking my neighbor's a freak, and I'm worried about that guy. And but you know, to each their own, I guess.
Right, and so, but yeah, I agree. I guess it kind of makes sense to a degree, especially if like, cause the town, and you kind of learn that the town is like well known for there being like weird shit happening. So I guess if like everyone's kind of like experiencing weird shit, I guess it would kind of make sense that your neighbor would probably be like, yo, heads up, some weird shit's probably going to happen.
Maybe on a second or third conversation, maybe. I mean, I don't know about right out of the gates, but you know.
Hey man, just drop it on them, fucking cold turkey. Just let them know. Be like, listen,
why wait?
You know what I mean? You're probably gonna die. It's fine. Just let you know. But yeah, no, I honestly, my big complaint about this movie, and it's not even necessarily a big complaint. It's just that I think that this honestly would have been better as like a TV show. I think that this movie could have been better, more fleshed out as like a television series, like a 6 or 7 episode miniseries.
Yeah.
Because the chapters are really neat. And I think that, you know, the chapter concept works really well in like a TV setting. In a movie, it works well too, if it's done right. But I feel like there's a lot of lore that they could have really dug into, but they only had like an hour and a half to do it. So, you know, I think that would be my only complaint, I guess, is that it was a little too short for as much information as they were trying to shove into this. So,
well, yeah, and I think maybe that's part of the pacing issue with me. It's like in Chuck's part, which was the first section, they give a lot of background, right, about what's happening, what this, that, and blah, blah, blah. But then there's some of it that I guess they just had to do to get the information to you. It's like, but some of the ways, the avenues that they got that information to you that they use in the movie, then it's just like later in the movie, you just, you don't see a whole lot of it anymore. It's just like not there, you know? So it's almost like, it's weird. It's almost like Chuck's chapter. No, and maybe it could have been a little better with like a little bit of a fifth chapter, like one at the beginning, laying that foundation, and then go to Chuck's part with a little more action in Chuck's part. Because Chuck's didn't feel like it had a lot. You know, the other two, by the time you're getting to those, there's a little bit of fear and getting to build. And it just, Chuck's didn't have as much of that.
No.
So it kind of, you know, so maybe some kind of, you know, I don't know, like an intro chapter that somehow laid that foundation a little more. And then Chuck's still getting his own chapter that maybe dove a little bit deeper into him. And then so I don't know, maybe it would have paced, you know, felt pace wise a little better for me. I don't know. I felt like poor Chuck got, he kind of cut the shaft, because his was the lay the foundation, get all the information out there segment. And so it's almost like, you didn't care about Chuck quite as much anymore, even though Chuck's very important in the movie. But,
Right. And that's kind of what I was going to say is that Chuck's a very important, integral part of this movie, but it just felt like we didn't get to like a whole lot of information from him. And yeah, and I
I
think
mean, I guess technically the last chapter was really Chuck heavy, though.
it
So
was.
maybe, I guess, I don't know. Maybe in a sense they did have that intro. They just called it Chuck.
Should have called it
Whatever. I
Chuck
don't
Part
know.
Two. But
Good
no,
old Chuck.
I do agree that I think the first chapter was a lot of plot dumping. Just trying to just fit as much shit as they could in there to give you as much backstory as possible, and then they get to the action. So, but I mean, overall, I still really enjoyed the movie. I think it had a lot of redeeming qualities. It was a very cool concept, and like you said, it had a nice little twist at the end. But I think it could have benefited from being like a short series versus a full-fledged movie. I think that would have been, in my opinion, the ultimate goal, the ultimate, positive for that.
I mean, again, it was an interesting concept. I just, I don't know, something felt off with me. So let's rate this. I'm gonna have to give it just slightly below, like a 2.5, because, like I said, something there just took away from a little bit of the enjoyment. But there were some good things about it. And just because I did rank it a little below that middle of the ground, three enjoyable for on our scale. I would advise people to go watch it, because some of what I think is a pacing issue for me may not be an issue for anybody else, much like it wasn't as much of an issue for Ike. It could just be me, and it felt off for me, because, you know, we bring our own, you know, viewing experience and history into this, and it just felt off for me a little bit. But there were definitely lots of bright points. And again, the character Maria and that actress, that was enough that to me, just seeing her and what she did was enough of a bright point to give the movie a watch. It was worth it just watching her. She was great. So, I'm gonna have to, based on how some of the movies I give threes to or whatever, I think I'm gonna have to give this a 2.5. So, Ike, out of five screams, what are you giving it?
I think I'm just going to give it a middle of the road, 3 out of 5. This movie was, I thought it was really good. It was entertaining. There were some things that I wish could have been different. Whether that be my, questions about the format of the movie or, any issues I may have had with some of the pacing and whatnot. I like the presentation. The concept was great. There's just a few things that I feel it could have been tweaked that could have pushed it a little higher. But to me, this is a pretty average, middle of the road, 3 out of 5 movie. I feel like it had enough enjoyment that I might return to the movie at one point. Maybe we'll rewatch it at some juncture if they make like a sequel or something. I mean, it was fun. I wouldn't mind them making a sequel. That's the thing too, is if they made a sequel, I'd watch it,
I would too. I mean, I'd give it a shot. Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. And you know, and like I said, I mean, you know, I'm you know, as a viewer, I can sit here and say this is what I like and what I like. And trust me, I'm very valid in my opinions and my what I think of it. And I feel that I'm entitled to that. But I'm not the filmmaker. I'm not the people working on this movie. I'm not dealing with all the added stuff of budgets and camera and time and all that stuff, which some of the things that to me I thought were issues could have just been simply just things they had to deal with, right? Because this is not a huge budget movie. This is not, I'm sure they didn't have forever to make it. So sometimes, sometimes things happen. And that it is what it is. And overall, again, overall, yeah, I'm glad Shudder put it out there. I'm glad they released it and that I got to see it. Because it's not one of those movies that I would nearly even say, nearly say was a total wash. There were parts that I did enjoy of it. So that, makes me glad that I saw it. Yeah, so would like for everybody to give it a view. Let us know what you thought. I've seen a lot of people on social media really, really like the movie. And I can see that. I mean, I can really, I've even seen people say that's one of their, favorite movies so far of the year. And I mean, I can see where people could get that idea. I mean, I really do. A lot of it's just, maybe it's just not my type of movie overall. But I would definitely see feedback on, like we said, on the one actress that played Maria. And if everybody else, again, I'm not even saying this is a negative towards anything else, but she just jumped out at me in this movie as just being so just incredible, an incredible performance. It just really, really did. I'm just curious if it was that striking for everybody else as it seemed to be for me. So let us know. But like we said and joked about and discussed probably longer than we should earlier, next episode, we will be watching Shadow of God. And that's how I will say it every goddamn time, because that's just, how else do you say it? I mean, it's just, that's a powerful name.
It
You
is.
know, it just sounds like something Thor would say, in the shadow of gods. They're gods because they have multiple of those. So, but anyway, I don't know what I'm rambling about again. But anyway, that is next episode. It will be on, what was it, Shudder? And it will be out the time that episode's out. So make sure everybody gives it a watch so that when we do our review, you can think along with us. We'd like to say thank you to the wives and all the listeners and followers for your support and encouragement. Once again, next episode, not only will we have Shadow of God, but we will have the Wrath of Monica, because the wives' rebuttal will be here next week. Anybody that's wondered where it's been, why it's been so long, well, we just had to build up the stamina and the fortitude to do it. But no, I can't. But the wives will be on for another wives' rebuttal next episode, discussing public domain horror. Should be a f well, it should be a fun time, I guess, for somebody. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all of the platforms. Just search for "Listen to Their Screams" or "Listen to Screams." It's "Listen," the number two, and "Screams." Before we close, Ike, anything you want to add?
Oh man, it's been a hell of a week, man.
It has. It has.
Just the last 7 days alone have aged me at least a decade. So, I'll just leave it at that. I think the context clues are powerful enough here. So,
Right.
just everybody out there, just it's not hard to not be an asshole. It really isn't, and it's a one thing to be an asshole and jest, like Dave and I. We act like dickheads, but it's for fun. It's not to actually be a dickhead. We're stupid to have fun. That's just what it is. It's entertaining to come on here and us act like a couple of what are they, hooligans on the podcast. It's a
We've gone full circle back to your butterscotch candy phage, you hooligans.
a couple of hooligans, get the hell off my yarn. But I mean, yeah, it's exactly what it is. We have fun, we get to act like this and just be a couple of little whippersnappers, but it's a whole different conversation to be a dickhead in real life.
That's right. Yeah. Just be nice. And anybody in the Midwest, we hope you're not washed out of your homes. Good
Not
Lord.
underwater.
Good
Not
grief.
underwater or thrown around by a tornado.
That's right. Good. Oof. Hi.
You're right. Ay, caramba.
That is, I know you said that, and we've used it 50 million times, but I think that's just the proper sentiment for this episode and the way we feel. It's just, ay. What do?
Amen.
But shake your head. What else can you say? But
True.
that's what happens when you're in the shadow of God.
That's
But
right.
I'm having too much fun with that one. We've overused so many things, from, gobble gobble motherfucker to Stafusi to I don't even know what else we've overused. We've a lot. But Shadow of God is just the next on the list. So
it is. It is the Shadow of God.
And I would make t-shirts if I wouldn't run the risk of a little old lady hitting me with her purses. And
right.
And I just don't want to go back to that. I've had that happen to me before, and I just can't go back to that. Just not fun.
It
That's
is not.
Not even a lie. I've truly been hit with the little old lady purses before. But that's a story for another day in another podcast.
That's right. So,
all right, everybody. But yeah, be good. Be nice to each other. Be safe. You know what? We don't get political, but no matter where you fall, guys, just do a little research on everything. Just everything. Don't believe every Facebook headline you read, guys. Don't be that guy. Just
okay.
just look. Get different perspectives, different sides. Just dig. Don't be a sheep. And that's as much as I'm gonna say. But we'll be back next week for another fun-filled day of horror movies and catchphrases and Shadow of Gods and Wrath of Monica's. And boy, next episode's gonna be something, Mike. We're gonna, wow. I don't know if we're ready for this. I feel like we're dealing with two ends of the spectrum here with the Shadow of God and the Wrath of Monica.
We definitely are.
Whew, that'll be fun. But that's next episode. So guys, come back and listen to us then. Until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.